You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 345 of the Outlander podcast. I am still Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Now, just before we began recording, I kept this in. I was going to almost tell you this, but I'm like, no, I don't want to say it twice. I want to get your reaction. Not that it's great, but I just want to say it for the recording, because why not? So, you know, we called the last episode was Say Yes to the Dress or something like that.
Don't say we called it. You called it.
Well, I named it, but it's our podcast, so we... Mm-hmm. It's our title. Oh, Lord have mercy. Cat, seriously, like clockwork, we record. She appears. Say yes to the dress. Like, okay, that was last week. Well, you, just as before we recorded, Summer was getting situated and you were telling me about how the dog was going to go with you and then he decided not to. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Summer was describing this and I thought, oh, he said no. And it made me think, like, say yes to the dress. But you're like, oh, we'll say no to the dress. And I'm like, no, it doesn't really rhyme. It doesn't go. And I'm like, only thing that I... Oh my God, Kat.
You, Ginger, your hashtag is, Lord, show me how to say no to this. I don't know how to say to this. Because the cat is in my lap.
Oh, to the cat?
And I cannot make her leave.
Whoa. I thought, speaking of saying no, I thought, okay, say yes to the dress. And then say no to the dress. Like, obviously, it doesn't have the same punch. It doesn't rhyme. And the thing that came out of my mouth or in my head when I was thinking of what could the no equivalent be, I thought, say no to the hoe. Now, we don't have any hoes in here.
No, it's hell to the nah.
I thought that's... Huh?
It's say hell to the nah. Duh.
No, exactly. So anyway, say no to the hoe is funny, I think, but it doesn't have any... It's my answer to say yes to the dress, but no, except for the no part. But it's not like, it was never a TV show. It just rhymed. That's the only reason it came out. And so that was actually what I was thinking when I was being quiet. But I wanted to save it. This episode, we'd like to thank co-producer Samantha.
And now, on to our read-along.
This week, we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along with Chapter 9, entitled The Threshold of War, or as we like to call it, Hemorrhoids.
At the top of this chapter, we get something, and I'm sure I mentioned it before last episode, but I try to always say it, but I don't always make this, not announcement, but make this point, but... I do appreciate that we get a lot more description or time markers in the books than in the show. I know that's a whole other thing. We're not going to go there. But anyway, it's April 1773. Robert, a.k.a. Bobby Higgins, he's thin, really thin. And Mrs. Bug wants to eat him up.
Not literally. She wants to feed him up, not eat him up. She said feed him up.
No, she wants him. She wants him to eat up. Either way, she feeds him. Now, Claire likes Bobby, too. Like, pretty much everyone likes Bobby, at least there on the ridge. She thinks he's sweet-natured. But as usual, when it comes to Lord John, Claire is suspicious of his generosity, specifically toward this man. Was it unselfish? But one of the things, like it or not, like this in her or not, you know, she's very human, she acknowledges this in herself. Like, she fully acknowledges that she has an issue with Lord John. I mean, she's accepted him as friend and friend of the family and friend of Jamie's. She's accepted him. She has this thing that she always will second guess things.
Do you think that she is homophobic? Or do you think it's because it involves Jamie?
That's a very deep question. On the surface, it's a very easy question. It's a yes or no answer. Or even if it's, you know, multifaceted. It's a deceptively simple question, right? I would not think that she would describe herself as such.
I mean, she is a product of her time. And in the 60s, that was before the big push to recognize their rights. But I don't know, because we don't experience a lot of LGBTQs in the series. I think if they gave us at least one more, we'd be able to compare and contrast, right? But we only get the one. So I always wonder if it is just a natural prejudice, or if it has more to do with Jamie. Like, if it was anybody else, she wouldn't care.
I think the safe answer is, well, I don't know that we'll ever know. I mean, Diana can give her opinion, right, about Claire. I don't know that we'll ever know. However, to answer the second part of that, yes. It's absolutely related to Jamie, but we don't know if it's just Jamie. But everyone, I think, would agree that it's definitely related to Jamie. But we don't know if it's only Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's an interesting question. There's a verse cat meow, y'all. It's going to happen. So Jamie comes in and she's in the surgery and she's putting together some plants and things like that. And he startles her and she kind of like jumps or bumps. She's trying to organize her trilliums and they go all over the place. And she's not angry, though. And she just talks to him and she tells him about her suspicions. Quote, I was wondering whether John... Sorry. Forget what I write. I forgot what I wrote. Quote, I was wondering whether John Gray's buggering our Mr. Higgins, or intends to, unquote. Apparently, quote, he's a very pretty young man, unquote. And she says he's got a bad case of piles. Jamie is so undone by her being indelicate, it's extremely entertaining. I always love when she gets to, not even the sciencey bit. It may go over his head. That's not what undoes him. What undoes him is her getting, talking about the birds and the bees, basically, and biology so freely, so easily. She schools Jamie about the Bible. Quote, the ancient Israelites and Egyptians had them, unquote. Of course, she means piles. And she tells us, too. They're called, in the Bible, emerods. Now, note in this discussion that she mentions Tom, I think it was her, she mentions, but Tom Christie is mentioned and his devoutness is referred to. Now, I believe the Christies were introduced in the end of book five. Is that right?
I believe Malva.
They were both introduced, I believe, together at the end of book five. I could be wrong. You're right. It could be just Christie.
No, we've been introduced to them. Well, because in the last book, in five, which they didn't do in the series, we talked about it because they left the whole Malva storyline out completely. The fact that they left it out and we mentioned that they left it out of five means that it was in book five.
So it's interesting that we get a nod to Tom Christie and a mention of his devoutness. He has not shown up in this book yet. So, but it may be... Especially if you were reading book five when it came out and you waited 4 or 5 years and then started book six and now Tom Christie is being mentioned, you may not remember who that was because he is not important at this moment, right? Because he's one of the school teachers or he's the school teacher, but he's not on screen, right? He's not on the page yet. He's just now for the first time being referred to, I think.
He was a little too extra.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a little too extra for the series.
Back to the emerods at hand. Was Lord John wanting their removal or their amelioration?
Wait. You're saying, did Lord John specifically ask if Higgins should have the hemorrhoids removed?
I am paraphrasing Claire. Claire says to Jamie rhetorically, does Lord John want them removed or ameliorated? She uses those terms. And you know what the difference is, right?
Removed or something else. Removed is removed. Removed or left there?
Well, no. Removal is just getting rid of what's there, right? Making him normal or back to whatever. Amelioration is both, is basically making the condition such that he will no longer get them. That's why she went in and talked about diet and everything.
No, I was just laughing because I don't recall Lord John being remotely mentioned into whether or not what plan she makes for hemorrhoids.
When I first, I guess, took that note or wrote that note or whatever, then I wrote, now I want to name this episode Ideal Anal Health, because Claire says, quote, I was estimating the desirability of leeches versus string with reference to Mr. Higgins achieving ideal anal health.
Please don't.
Unquote. But I don't think that
that's going to put us on a list
as an episode title. It's a bit too much even for me.
I don't think you want to be on that list, though.
Oh, Lord. Summer, we're already on a list. What are you talking about? No, maybe not. She asks Jamie to, just in case, you know, she asks Jamie to collect some leeches at his convenience. And Mr. Higgins doesn't poop enough, and he's got a horrible diet. Back to the letter. Lord John had said that he wanted Claire to treat his other ills. And so she's thinking about this, and she's like, why would that be piles unless he wants to make progress? She is put off by the notion that he may have sent Bobby to her to be prepped or repaired.
Yeah, I just, I know we know by the end of this chapter, but personally, I can't imagine an instance where Lord John would already know about this man's butthole.
Piles?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm just saying that's not something that comes up in the course of conversation. And unless the implication is that they were already butt buddies.
Well, that's what she was afraid of. If not already, to have him prepped to become one. Yes.
But that's the thing. If they weren't already, I don't feel like that would have been a conversation between the two of them.
Jamie is definite that Lord John is honorable and wouldn't take advantage of anyone under his protection. And he does still love Jamie. Jamie acknowledges this. When Claire asks him if he'd rather Lord John didn't love him, he says, quote, I would, for myself, for him, certainly, but for William, unquote. So that's a lot to think about, too. And then she says the thing.
It is, but that felt like a big jump, though. To go from I like buggering adult men to I like buggering children, or I like grooming children to be buggered when they're adults. I'm like, those are three different choices, only one of which is remotely acceptable, which is I don't rape and groom children.
Then she says the thing that should never be said. Quote, do you ever wonder whether Lord John might have taken him because, well, William does look terribly like you and evidently did from an early age. Since Lord John finds you physically attractive, ... unquote. And Jamie says no. And it's not that he, according to Jamie, it's not that he can't bear the thought of it. And I wrote, really? You can bear the thought of what? Does that make sense to me? He tells Claire that he can't bear the thought of it. It doesn't. Blah, blah, blah. It's not that he can't bear the thought of it, because maybe he means the thought of him with Lord John and not William. So he must have not meant William there, because he definitely would not be able to bear that. But he tells Claire he offered him, Lord John, his body after Lord John told him he would wed Isabel. Of course, and part and parcel of that package was to that he would, you know, take on Willie's care. He said he'd offered himself in thanks, but he meant to see what sort of man he was. But Lord John had said no, but he wouldn't take anything short of a loving, willing Jamie. And thus, Jamie knew that Willie was safe. Or he assumed Willie was safe, I guess. But I do believe that he is safe, but yeah. So Claire asks him, what if Lord John had actually taken you up on that offer? And Jamie says, if he'd said yes, I would have killed him. Quote, it wouldn't have mattered if they'd hanged me. I'd not have let him have the boy. Unquote. Huh. I think we find out in this chapter. That is the first time. No. Lord John. That's right. I think Claire confirms to the reader that this is the first time Jamie has told her about it, but she knew about the offer already. I think Lord John had already told her when they were in, maybe not Voyager, but at some point. I think probably when they had the measles, I think.
Jamaica. He told her in Jamaica.
Oh, it was Jamaica?
Yeah, even they said it in this chapter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't remember if it was Jamaica or during the measles.
They had a lot of talk during the measles, but I think he used it as a weapon against her.
He used Willie as a weapon. He didn't use the fact that he offered his body.
In the argument. They had an argument, and he threw it at her.
I mean, it could have been. He definitely used Willie as a weapon. Fast forward to Claire working on Bobby's arse. He's on all fours, and she's lecturing, as she's wrapping and tying off his doodads, she's lecturing him on his diet. She's like, you need to eat oatmeal. I'll have Mrs. Bug make you like a raisin pie or whatever it was. And the window was open for ventilation, and he's got his naked butt in the air, and they can hear the voices of people coming. So he stiffens up and he gets so kind of freaked out, but he doesn't move. So she tells him to go ahead and get up and cover up. So he does. Now, who were these lovely visitors? They were Richard Brown and his brother Lionel. Now, show only watchers or those who are reading or listening to Breath of Snow and Ashes for the first time. Yes, this is a dead man in the series and the setup bad guy for season 6. So if this is your first time reading the book or listening to the book, or you have never read and you're coming to us fresh off of season 6 and that's your only background. Sorry, ooh, season 5. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The Browns are here visiting because if you listen to our episode discussions, that was not from the book. But it's okay. I'm just letting you know why they're both here. So Dick is there to see Jamie. Richard doesn't want Claire to trouble herself to get Jamie, so he goes out after him, and then Lionel follows. But they leave their mules for her to tend. Nice.
I hate the Browns.
Girlfriend.
I hate them so much.
But Bobby is a mensch, and he comes up. Hopefully, I think he has breeches on by now. He comes and takes care of the mules for her. And one of the mules bites him. He screams and lets go of both of them.
He apparently has donkey fainting syndrome.
Oh, that, yes. And he acts nonchalant in front of Lizzie, who had come up, and then he faints. And after he comes round, he tells her, Claire, that he gets these spells from time to time. He only even told someone about the emeralds because of the days and days of writing to Virginia, and he knew it was going to be a thing. Otherwise, if it weren't so painful in such a long time, that would not have been shared either. Just then, Jamie and the Browns come back around the house. They're happy. They see Bobby there on the ground, or no longer fainted, and they're happy to confirm that there's a murderer there. And Jamie says, oh, I didn't know. And then he introduces Bobby as his guest. So already in chapter 9, we have the Arsehole Browns set up as two of the bad guys of book 6. Quote, have a care, Fraser. Keeping the wrong company can be dangerous these days. Unquote. Fun times.
I hate the Browns.
Jamie says he chooses. That's going to be some. Okay, I'm going to say. Bobby's anal health and Summer hates the Browns is the title of his episode.
I hate them.
Jamie says he chooses his company as he wants, and he doesn't choose theirs. Joseph Weems brings the mules up, and Jamie bids the Browns to get the F out. I thought you said Josephine, and I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, no, no, she said Joseph Weems. Okay.
Yes, Josephine. Okay, now we're going to call Joseph Weems Josephine. That's hysterical. Elizabeth K. writes, the reappearance of the Browns. I wish I could remember my feelings on my first reading. I know too much now, but I have so much instant hate the minute the Browns are mentioned. I don't know that I've ever taken note before of Claire's observation that the Browns are coming for Bobby because they recognize that there is no need for their committee of safety if there is not legitimate threat to people. And yes, so her comment included a lot of this, so we will talk about committees of safety very soon. Elizabeth K. continued, power is seductive and addicting, and it's scary the lengths people will go to in order to gain and keep power. I also think it's frightening the things we're willing to do when we're convinced of our own rightness. If the Browns truly think Bobby is in danger, they will have no problem beating or hanging him because they are right and he is wrong. I had forgotten that one of the main reasons Jamie agreed to be an Indian agent was to keep Richard Brown. So he said yes to the dress. That's a spoiler. To keep Richard Drown. Richard Drown and Josephine. To keep Richard Brown from being handed the role. Clearly, we need to keep an eye on these Browns.
Yes. I hate them.
So then, Summer, tell us again how you feel about the Browns.
I said, I hate the Browns.
Okay. I think that's the title. I think it has to be the title. Then Jamie calls Bobby for a chat and Claire follows. We find out. The Browns have declared themselves head of the new committee of safety and came to enlist Jamie and his tenants. Jamie politely declined. Claire thinks about what the major had said. Remember what Major McDonald had said? All about the crown and you know, Jamie becoming an Indian agent potentially and how to get them to potentially in the future fight on the side of the crown. It was starting. Bobby has seen one of them up close and personal, meaning a mob. A committee of safety.
Oh, I was like, one of them? Like the Browns?
I know. I was like, who? The Browns? Right? They were right there. Everyone saw them. He says they're mobs and vicious. And then Claire remembers Lizzie. Where's Lizzie? She'd gone for a brandy for Bobby after he'd fainted. But she never came back. It, of course, was the malaria. She instructs people on what to do and how to, you know, someone takes, I think Bobby does. Bobby takes Lizzie upstairs to go into bed. They strip her to get her ready to be.
Which the Beardsleys did not appreciate.
No, they were not happy about that. And but she's out of Jesuit bark. So what does she do? She thinks of what she can sub for it. So she finds what she can to like treat the symptoms, but it won't treat the disease. It won't treat her actual underlying condition. So she looks at her jars and sees one labeled gallberries. And she finds the notation in Richard Rawlings. Is it Richard? Dr. Rawlings, who knows? She finds the notation in Dr. Rawlings' book. He'd used it for a treatment of something that seemed to be malarial. So just to be sure, she bites on one of the gallberries and her mouth floods with the taste of quinine. So, or quinine, as she says. And she's like, okay, this will probably do. So she's going to use it. So then the Beardsleys are there and, of course, concerned about Lizzie.
The most prevalent malaria medication today is quinine. I believe I pronounced that kind of close to how it's pronounced. And every time I buy tonic water to go with gin and tonics, I wonder to myself, how much quinine is in this tonic water? And how much tonic water do I need to drink to stave off malaria?
I have no idea how much. Hey, either medical people or drinks people, let us know.
I just think that every time I see that little label on tonic water.
I always found that interesting, too.
I always wonder.
I don't think I have any tonic water, but I don't really keep any around. But yeah, but I know it's in there. And I've ever since I learned that, I've always been curious about that, too. So the Beardsleys say they know where to get some. There are more than one tribe, but there is a group, a community of Cherokee who are somewhat nearby and they know that they have them. And Jamie says he will go with them. I mean, this is his stepping into the role of Indian agent. He's like, guess I better. And so he's going to go with them. Jamie asks Josiah to get Bobby and bring him downstairs. And he's not happy, as Summer said, he's not happy to hear that Bobby is with Lizzie. So that's Jamie saying yes to the dress and not no to the hoe. If he doesn't, the Browns will.
Can we say yes to the dress or down to the Browns?
What? No, because you can say yes to the dress and down to the Browns, but not no. It doesn't stand for no, but absolutely we can say.
I'm just saying there's no hoe, but we definitely have Browns, and I'm trying to do something that negates the Browns that, like, obviously no doesn't rhyme.
I will never say no to anything that says no to the Browns. I am fine with down to the Browns, but it doesn't stand in for the no. It's a separate and very strong saying that I support. Jamie's gonna become an Indian agent, and once he's out there, he'll go with the boys to the Cherokee. Once he's there, he'll send the boys back with the berries, but he may need to stay for a bit to establish stuff and to talk with them and to begin the whole process of, you know, their community and then their other communities around, because they'll pass the word along that Jamie is now officially an Indian agent. Quote, "It was starting. No matter how much one knows that something dreadful is going to happen in the future, one somehow never thinks it will be today." Unquote. Then Jamie chats with Bobby. What about these committees of safety? Jamie confirms the Browns had come for him. They wanted him to join. Jamie had told them they'd take a guest, meaning Bobby, a guest from his hearth over his dead body and theirs. So he tells him to be aware of himself as he goes around. And when it's finally time for him to go back to Virginia, to Lord John, he'll provide an escort so he's not alone. And then, because he's about to leave, he's going to leave the next day, I almost said Bobby Brown. Bobby Higgins. See, now you got Robert the Browns Higgins. In my head. I'm thinking of Bobby. It's Bobby Brown. Oh, this is all over the place. He gives Bobby a gun, not just for him, but for looking after his family while he's gone.
But then Claire remarks, but you're leaving him with the not great gun. He had to take the good guns with him.
He's like, damn straight. Claire quotes Thomas Jefferson, quote, "A government derives its powers from the just consent of the governed," unquote. And Jamie's like, yeah, he borrowed that from Locke. Awesome. Quote, there were still choices to be made. Don't laugh. I'm trying to get it out.
I hate that noise.
Which one?
You'll hear it. Blah. Blah. You'll hear it.
Stop. Quote, "There were still choices to be made. Decisions to reach, actions to take, many of them. But in one day, one hour, one single declaration of intent, we had stepped across the threshold of war." Unquote. Elizabeth Kay rounds us out with, "Poor Bobby. I learned more than I ever wanted to know about hemorrhoids in this chapter. It was a fairly long chapter, and I really enjoyed it. I just didn't have a lot of deep thoughts about it. I did look into gallberries a little, but didn't find much information about them in relation to malaria treating properties. They do apparently make a tasty honey, however. Here are a couple of links if anyone is interested. Both are native to coastal areas in the United States from Virginia to Texas. They exist primarily as..." Okay, I can't read the rest because it's dot, dot, dot. So that is a link at Flaw Wildflowers. I'm guessing Florida. Flawwildflowers.org. We will include that link. Thank you, Elizabeth. We'll include that link in the show notes. And Elizabeth continues, "I also found a medicinal herbs website, ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. So it's a National Institutes of Health page, subpage. We'll also include that in our show notes. But Elizabeth says, "Once I read that there are over 1,200 plant species used to treat malaria, I decided I really didn't need that much information." Fair enough. I would have stopped too.
And that was Chapter 9. Join us next week when we will be continuing our A Breath of Snow and Ashes read-along. We'll be doing 3 chapters next week, starting with Chapter 10, Duty Calls, Chapter 11, Bloodwork, and Chapter 12, Further Mysteries of Science. And as always, if you'd like to snatch up a chapter and be a contributor on one of our read-along podcasts, you can go to www.outlanderpod.com/snow. There's a spreadsheet up there, and if you shoot me an email at summer@outlanderpod.com and tell me which chapters you'd like to contribute to, I'd be happy to add you to the list. And if you'd like to join in to continue the conversation, you can always join our group at www.outlanderpod.com/group.
And again, a very special thanks to our co-producer, Samantha. Samantha, thank you so much. Samantha, our other co-producers, and all of our supporters at any and every level on Patreon are just such a boon to us. And we really appreciate your support. You guys are extra special. We appreciate all of our listeners, but our Patreon supporters, we really appreciate, extra appreciate you guys for taking this extra step and just supporting us in this amazing way.
They help make us.
Absolutely. To find out more about how you can support us on Patreon and what a co-producer is and just the different levels and just different things and what it's all about, you can find out more by visiting patreon.com/outlanderpod.
So as our Tee Public orders have started rolling in, we've been getting some great photos on our group page on Facebook with everyone showing us their art, my art on their face, posts of their cute Outlander Pod masks.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much.
And their Outlander Pod t-shirts, which are available if you're interested at www.outlanderpod.com/shop. I wish you would really name it outlanderpod.com/my art on your face. That's what I think it needs to be.
It's a little bit long.
Who cares?
But that's funny. Thank you guys, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outlanderpod.